Today is October 31st. I only see one person wearing their mask today for October 31st. So, yeah, you stop by my office, I'll give you some candy, okay? All right. But I think about this date because on October the 31st, 1977, I entered into a company to start working as a production control clerk. They made products for the government, for the military, different things commercially. And I started there as a production control clerk. They hired me at $2.76 an hour because I was experienced, okay? I had worked somewhere before. And so that date is always special for me. And October 31st, 1993, is another date that's very special because I went there on October 31st, 1977. I left there on October 31st, 1993, and went full-time into the service of the Lord the following week at the church where I was at. And I never will forget just leaving there. And my boss was always, he'd come in every morning. He'd sit in the chair in my office right in front of my desk, and he'd say, "You're going to starve. Your family, they're going to starve. You're just going to be living from hand to mouth." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. I've considered that. I am going to be living from hand to mouth. But it's from God's hand to my mouth. So I'm not going to be starving." And you know what? God has taken care of us all those years. And October 31st is a special date for us. And I just thank the Lord for it. But today, as we begin the lesson today, October the 31st, 2021, we begin a series of lessons from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And it's entitled Identity, Life in Christ. And the very first lesson, is entitled Chosen and Grateful. I thought, my goodness, what more of a lesson could we have on such a special date in my life personally as to be this lesson entitled Chosen and Grateful? You know what? We have been chosen by God. Now, I don't want you to think that we're teaching some Calvinistic type doctrine, anything like that, when we talk about being chosen. I don't want that to be in the thought, in your mind thinking process, because that's not what we're teaching today. We're teaching Bible. And God's Word teaches us that each of us have been chosen. We have been predestined for a greater life than what we could ever think that we could ever have in this world. How do you know that? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's not just a certain few, okay? It's not just a certain chosen group that's rich and famous and all these other things, but it's bus kids like I was. It's lost sinners like you were. And you know what? God so loved the world. And I want you, if you don't get anything else out of this lesson series, I want you to understand today how much God loves you. He chose to love you. He chose to give Himself for you. And He chose to do that for a special purpose. And that was so that you would, through a grateful heart, choose to love Him in return and serve Him with all of your heart. Now, I want us to look at our theme verses today. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is our lesson theme verse today, where Paul writes these words. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." My goodness, what a set of verses this is. And I want to leave you with this question today as we start this lesson series. I want to ask you this question. How are we identifying with the one who first loved us and chose us to be his own? How am I identifying myself with the one who first loved me and who first chose me to be his own? You need to ask yourself that this morning. When we were there for the funeral service this week, they had a funeral procession that probably went for 2 miles. I mean, between the police escorts and the motorcycle patrol going and closing off all the exits and all the stoplights and holding traffic back and all the people that were behind it and everything else. It was amazing. And you know, it was something to be a part of that and see them taking care of the needs of the family and being there. I remember talking to Chief Thompson. She's the police chief there. And she told me, she said, if there's anything you all need, all you got to do, you're a phone call away, just call. And I told her, I said, well, Logan and his mom are going to need your help. And they're going to probably need that. She said, all you got to do is call. And you know what? We have been chosen by God. And anytime we have a need with God, all we got to do is go to him. We go to him. As we enter into this new series of lessons from the Word of God, I want you to see how that the Holy Spirit of God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to this church, this group of believers there in Ephesus. And he wrote to them so as to help them come to see and to better understand just how they, as well as you and I today, we're reading this some 2,000 years later, but how that God wanted us to see and understand that as born-again believers, as born-again children of God, we are to live our lives in Christ. You're going to see this. I think I counted that term, in Christ, I think 14 times, I think it was, in this book of Ephesians. And we are to live both in Christ and for Christ in a dark and sinful world. We can only live for him as we come to realize how we stand in him. Okay? We have a responsibility to respond to what God has done for us. We have a responsibility how to respond to the world since we are in Christ. And that is where we stand for Christ. We stand in Christ because we are part of the family of God. But we stand for Christ to help others come to see their need to be part of the family of God. And so as we look at this, as we respond to the fact that it was Almighty God that chose to love us before we were ever born, before we ever came into existence, God loved us and he gave himself for us. He chose to do what he did for us. And you know what his desire and his hope is? His desire, God's desire for each of us, for the whole world, is that we would choose to live for him. We would choose to love him and have a purpose in our lives in this world. God saved us for a purpose. You know, identity is important. It's important, especially in the day that we live today. You realize that, do you not? Identity, how you identify yourself. Now, there are folks identifying themselves in all manners of ways today, all different ways. They're saying you can choose your identity, okay? Many in our day are coming out. And they are identifying themselves in several different ways. But you know, I want to ask you this morning, how are you identifying yourself in this lost and sinful world? How are you identifying yourself with the one who first loved you and who chose you and who willingly gave himself for you? How are you identifying with him? As a truly born again child of God, you and I need today to realize something. We need to realize that we have indeed been chosen by God. He chose to love us. He chose to do for us what no one else could do. He chose to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And he did that with a desire that you and I would in turn choose to love him. When we had our children, we had loved, we had prepared, we talked about it, having children, and we wanted to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we did that to the best of our ability. But you know what? There was one desire that stood out among all the desires that we had in our heart for our children. There was one desire that we had that stood above each and every one of those other desires. And that was one day to hear those children look up to us and hug me around the neck and say, "Daddy, I love you." And you know what, boy, when we were there this week, our granddaughter turned three. She turned 3 years old. We celebrated her birthday. And she came up to me while I was down there, and she just patted me on the cheeks like that. And I said, "Grandpa loves you." And she said, "I love you too." And you know what, buddy? That means more than anything else in this world. But you know what? That's what God wants to hear from each of us. And he wants to see that in our lives. He wants to see the love that we have for him in our lives from day to day. God wants to see it. And you and I, as God's dear children, we have been blessed. We have been predestined. We have been set apart for his service. Why? Because God chose us. And we have indeed been chosen. And we should today be grateful for what God has done for us. Now, I want to share this first lesson in the first five verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. I want you to see, first of all, the Ephesians setting. The Ephesians setting and the purpose for this book. I want you to see it this morning, okay? I want you to understand Paul's history with the church at Ephesus. The history there is one that would make most folks frightful of being a Christian. But you know what? Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And neither should you or I be today. And as we look at this lesson, history teaches us that Paul wrote this epistle, this letter to the church of Ephesus somewhere around 60 to 63 A.D., and he wrote this letter to them with a charge that they should consider how good God had been to them. When I first got saved, it was a new experience for me to know that somebody really loved me for who I was. And you know what? I went, and as I began to read the Word of God, I began to think about God's love for me. I never will forget going to a bookstore, and I bought this book right after I got saved. Not long after I got saved, just a few months, I guess. And it's called An Anything Book. An Anything Book. And it's just full of blank pages. That's all it is, just blank pages. And as I began to read the Word of God, I began to write little things in here about the things I learned about God. And I gave our grandson, Lisa and I gave him a little journal book like that. I told him, I said, "Logan, buddy, what you need to do, you need to sit down and just write. And write those things out, how good God has been to you. And even when you got a heartache or a burden, write it out." The psalmist David wrote like that, I really believe. That's why we have the book of Psalms. It was a joyful time for him. He wrote down his burdens, his heartaches, everything. But he wrote it to give honor and praise unto God. And when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he wrote to them, as we see here in verse number 1, he wrote here and talked about how that he was a, a prisoner in Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 3, verse number 1, Paul said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, he wrote these things because he was a prisoner of God. Did you know what? When we got saved, we changed jail cells. Amen. I'm no longer serving that taskmaster, the devil. But I'm living for the Lord. I am his prisoner, so to speak. I am the one that he loved, and I want to in turn love him. If you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 28, just a moment. Turn back in the book of Acts, chapter 28. I want to read you something here, what Dr. Luke wrote about Paul. Some of his adventures in Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible said, Luke wrote here, he said, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed the day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, let me stop right here just a moment. You see, God chose the Jewish people, His chosen people. God chose them to be the witnesses to the world, and yet they rejected the Savior. And when they rejected, He came to them first. When they rejected Christ, God said, you know what? It doesn't change my plan. I still want the world to know. And God sent Paul to the Jews first, and also to the Greek, the Gentiles, and there he preached the gospel unto them. Aren't you glad God chose to love you and me today? Man, that just excites me. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Wow. Can you imagine that? Now go over to chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And I want you to see it, verse number 1. Acts chapter 19, verse number 1. You say, preacher, I thought there was going to be an exposition in Ephesians. It is. We're getting there. I'm just giving you some background here. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And there, folks, listen to me, he continued to teach and to preach the word of God. And you get down to verse 8 in this same chapter, Acts chapter 19, verse number 8. The Bible said here that he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, in other words, when many people's hearts were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now go on down to verse number 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. Boy, they burned their astrology books. They burned their Playboy books. They burned everything they had that was not according to the Word of God. You know what? Because those things didn't matter to them anymore. They had trusted Christ. They brought all those curious arts, their books together, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Wow. You say, boy, that's a lot of treasures to burn. Not when you're looking at all eternity with Christ. It was nothing. But they gave it all up. And look what the last part of the verse says. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Not only did the word of God grow in the hearts of the people, but it prevailed over those things that they had once done in their lives. You say, Brother Ray, how do I get over those things in my old way of living? You let the word of God take preeminence in your life. And the word of God will grow mightily, and it will prevail over those other things that used to take part. God was indeed using this man, we refer to as the Apostle Paul, to teach these people and to preach the word of God. But there was a problem in Ephesus, as you will remember. And we see that here, that their problem was their obsession with the goddess, the pagan goddess, Diana. If Ephesus had an obsession with Diana, they were very superstitious. And they believed in this great big port city. They had everybody coming from different parts of the world. They had everybody coming in. It was a trade place. They did lots of business there. And these people, they wanted to preserve their way of living. Okay? They wanted to do whatever it took to make sure they had money coming in. Ships were coming in, ships were going out. When a ship came in, they wanted those same ships that went out to tell everybody, man, you got to stop at Ephesus. You got to stop there at the port. You got to get there. Boy, they got all kinds of things there that you could buy and have. And boy, what a great city it is. But their greatest obsession was with the goddess Diana. And what they did, they began to worship this goddess who supposedly protected them, gave life unto them, gave them all the things they had, blessed their harvests and all these things. And so certain craftsmen began to say, you know what, we can cash in on this if we're good about this. We can cash in. So they started making little silver statues and little ivory statues and all kinds of little things. And the coppersmiths and the silversmiths began to make these little pagan goddess images. and sell them to the people. Say, take this, put this on the dashboard of your chariot, and it'll protect you wherever you go. You know, hang this on your rearview mirror instead of the dice up there, okay? All right. Put all these things out there, and boy, God, the goddess Diana will take care of you. And the whole city had come to worship this pagan goddess Diana. It became a very lucrative trade in the land of Ephesus. People began to worship these things, but something happened when Brother Paul went into that city. And it's for 2 years he and the other men of God began to testify of what God had done for them and how God had chosen them to proclaim the message of the gospel everywhere they went. People began to hear about what Jesus did for them. They believed on Christ. They got saved. And they began to burn these false gods. And they burned their books. And they burned all these other things. They got rid of it all. And they began to turn unto God. And the silversmiths and the craftsmen and all the other people got upset because their business was going down. Well, that's what we need in America today. We need folks to turn back to God and get the gospel to people so that they will turn away from those things and put them out of business. Every smokehouse and vapor house and tattoo parlor and everything else, man, if they'll hear the gospel, they'll change their business, their way of doing business. And you know what? That's what happened here. So the Bible said here in Acts chapter 19, look down at verse 24. The Bible said a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. What does that mean? It means they were mad. They were hostile. They were vicious. And they began to attack the man of God. Is that what we're seeing in our world today? Man, every time you mention the gospel, these people are full of wrath. And look what the Bible said. And they cried out saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with what? Confusion. You know what? The Bible tells me that God is not the author of confusion. So if God is not the author of confusion, who is? Satan. And he wanted to confuse the people. He wanted to bring confusion and lack of order. And so the Bible said that the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Now, I want you to remember, this theater, Ephesus boasted, this was the greatest theater that was around. Supposedly, according to archaeologists and all these things, this thing would seat more than 25,000 people. One-tenth of the city. They estimated to be, the city estimated to be 250,000 people. And this one theater would seat one-tenth of that group, 25,000 people. That's a lot of people. And they were all mad at one man. Can you imagine that? You say, well, I've got one person that just gives me just grief all the time. You only got one. He had 25,000. And they were ready to put him to death. Man, we've never suffered anything like that. Never. And the Bible goes on to say, verse number 26, the Bible said that Paul that taught the Word of God in such a way that these merchants would exclaim, and they'd say here in verse 26, 27, he said, "Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. so that not only this, our craft, is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia, and they thought, the world worshipeth. Boy, they thought the whole world worshiped Diana. But then you come to find out they were wrong. Paul took a powerful stand. And look at this. We saw how that Paul preached the gospel, but here in the chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the book of Ephesus, we see how that Paul, he put an emphasis on life in Christ. He put an emphasis on life in Christ, not in self, not in the things of this old world, but Paul put an emphasis on things with Christ. You know what? You can gain all the accolades of this world that you could ever have. You can gain all the trophies and awards and plaques and honors and certificates and ribbons that you could ever imagine in this world. But what does any of that stand up against when you think about one word called eternity? You can gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul. And that's what had happened here with these people. So here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes a personal greeting to this church. And he tries to encourage them. And he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand here, Paul recognized the fact that he was only what he was by the grace of God. You and I are saints. And I know this is not good English, but it rhymes. Either you're a saint or you ain't. That's just as deep as it gets, amen? You're either a saint or you ain't. Either you know Christ as your Savior or you don't know Him. There's no room in between. There are no other categories to consider today. You either belong to Christ or you still belong to your father, the devil. And Paul wrote here, he said that, I know this fact, and I'm going to introduce myself again to them in this letter as knowing what the will of God has been for my life. Then he writes, he said, not only did he write to the saints, and that word saints, let me just define that for you. It means to be holy and set apart. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are holy unto God. You are His chosen vessel. You are set apart for God's service. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost that now dwells within you. He is the perfume in the bottle. Amen? While we were there in Winston this past week, he was kind of muggy and sweaty and stuff like that. And I told my wife, I said, got to go to Walmart and get me some Stetson or something. Just put it on because, man, I was just sweating like a dog. I was just sweating. I'd have been panting if my tongue were long enough. And it was just one of those things. But you know what? When you become a saint of God, the Holy Spirit of God becomes that perfume that dwells in this temple. He's the sweetness. He's the sweet fragrance that should be exposed in your life and in mine. And a saint is one that has been set apart by God for a special purpose. And now I notice here that he wrote to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he was here describing every born-again believer who strives to live for God the way that they ought to live for God. You know what? It doesn't take much to be grateful or to be faithful. All it takes is a grateful heart. Anybody can be faithful to God. Listen, when we picked up Precious yesterday, down at the kennel down here, Lisa picked up Precious. And buddy, she was excited to see Lisa, okay? I got up, Lisa went down to pick up something at Lowe's. And I got up, got a shower, got ready, and I was waiting. I was standing there looking at the clock. I thought, man, she ought to be here by now. Good night. I was talking about Precious. And she ought to be back by now. Yeah. And I saw her coming in the driveway, so I went out and I raised up the garage doors. And when Lisa pulled the van into the garage, And I was standing there just watching and waiting. Lisa rolled her window down, and Precious jumped from the passenger side all the way over to the other side, and half her body's just going like this, okay? And she's anointing Lisa with love. And so I came over and picked her up out of the thing. And man, she was just licking and carrying on all over you. Man, she was thankful to be home, okay? And you know what? That's the way it ought to be with you and me today. We are faithful to the house of God. We ought to be anxious to be in the house of God. Why? Because somebody loved us and gave himself for us, provided all this for us to serve him with. And Paul talked about the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at it. Faithful in Christ Jesus. That's us. That's you and me. That's what our desire to be should be. And then he wrote to them and he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, if you want to know the peace of God, you first of all have to know the grace of God. Amen. When folks asked me many times, they said, how you doing? The chief came up to me and she said, how you doing today? And I said, saved by grace. And big old tears come out of her eyes. She said, that's what we all need, the grace of God. And you know what? Without grace, there is no peace. Listen, N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. No Jesus, no peace. But K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. If you know Jesus as your own personal Savior, then you know the peace of God, the grace of God that has been extended unto you. And he writes them here, and he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Why would he say that? Because before we were saved, we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God, because sin had separated us from God. But God still chose to love us in spite of our sin. Amen. Aren't you glad about that today? God still chose to love us in spite of our sin. The Bible said here that then Paul goes and he introduces life in Christ. And if you look here at verses 3 through 5, he first of all shows us that it is God who has bestowed us with blessings. Folks, we so many times get so caught up in the things, in the blessings, that we forget the one who gives the blessings. We forget the blesser, and we get so infatuated with the blessings. Listen, every car, no matter how new it gets, one day it gets old. Okay? One day it gets old. Tomorrow, I'm taking our van in for a 15,000-mile checkup, okay? We bought that van, or we traded it and got the hybrid to save on gas money. And I am so glad. Man, we drove from here all the way to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, drove until Thursday on one tank of gas. One tank of gas. We drove everywhere we had to go, Virginia, back and forth, see our son, celebrate his birthday, go up to see Lisa's dad, go around to see all these. We did all that and drove back here, and I still got just a little under half a tank of gas. Man, I was thankful for that. When we traded that van and got this other one, this hybrid, in March, from March until now, I've got almost 15,000 miles on it. And you know what? I got to take it back tomorrow to get it checked out. They got to change the oil again. They got to rotate the tires. They got to check this. Go and check that. Make sure everything gets old, okay? And it wears out. Everything. Everything. Yeah? Even us. Amen? Even us. We get old and worn out. But you know what? The blessings that we have all come from God. The life that we have comes from God. And Paul here reminds him, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. If you'll remember, it's all in Christ. That's what he said. It's in Christ. That's where it all begins. He introduces here the meaning of what it means to be a believer in Christ. A believer. It's not one that just says, oh, I believe in Jesus. The devils believe and they tremble, the Bible said. But to know him as your own personal Savior, that is what makes the difference. And he's introducing that. He's showing us here how it's God that bestows us a blessing. Look at the next part. He shows us how that God chose us to salvation. He chose us to salvation. Look at it. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Think about it, folks, to be chosen by God when we were so undeserving of God's love, when we were so undeserving of his mercy, when we were so undeserving of his grace, that just blows my little mind. It blows my mind. And folks, to think that God would love somebody as vile and as wretched as I was before I got saved, and to think that he would love me and want to save me, and then want to call me into his service to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, it still amazes me. It amazes me. I think about how that God so chose to love the world. You know, we read in Titus chapter 3. And I think I've got this marked in your bulletin. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Paul wrote these words. He said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That reminds me so much of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, where the Bible said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Man, what love. What a choice God made to love us. Folks, never forget that it was God who first chose to love and redeem sinful men. I would encourage you to look back at the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This chapter in the Bible, the Jews to this day are forbidden to read. They're forbidden. When I was told that by a Jew, he said, "We're forbidden to read Isaiah chapter 53. I said, "Why?" He said, "I don't know why. We've never read it." In Isaiah chapter 53, it talks about how that God chose to love and redeem sinful man through his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about how that he suffered and all the things that Jesus went through. But in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11, it said, "Yet it pleased the Lord," the L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "the Lord God Jehovah, it pleased him to bruise him." Who's he talking about? His own son, Jesus. "It pleased God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." Satisfied what? That the debt has been paid. Your debt, my debt, has been paid. "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Praise be unto God for choosing to save someone like you and like me. I wrote a poem when I was growing up, and after I'd gotten saved, and I was reading through this thing. And it said this, and I want to read this to you real quick before we close. "So many hundreds of years ago, a Savior died for me. This God's Son, yes, God's only Son, died to set me free. And this same love given so many years ago, why it was given, I don't really know. I'm just so glad the Son decided to love a wretch like me. He chose me. He chose me. And though I don't know why, I'm so happy that He did. He chose me. He chose me. Jesus, God's only Son, He chose me. And so now, when I'm down and discouraged by the world, I know just what to do. I'll just sit and remember my Jesus' precious love and the home He's got for me up above. And this same love given can give anyone a home. Why this was done, I don't really know. All I know is that He has given me new life as He chose a wretch like me. You know what? God chose us for a purpose today, folks. He chose us to live for Him. He chose us. He predestined us to adoption. He chose to do this. And He did it for a purpose. And that purpose was that you and I might live faithfully for Him. Now, folks, you and I have to choose what we're going to do. We have been chosen by God, but are we grateful enough for His choosing to live for Him, to serve Him, to give Him our all today? How are you being identified today with the One who first loved you and gave Himself for you? How are you identifying yourself? How can we ever say thanks unto God for all He has done for us? Let me tell you how you do it. You do it by living for Him. Amen? I tell my kids, our son turned 34 on the same day that our granddaughter turned 3. My wife made him a special little plaque and said, "Be still and know that I am God." He can put it on the desk there. I gave him a thumb drive, 128 gigabyte thumb drive. And I put it on there for him every Sunday school lesson I've taught since I've been here for the last 10 years. Every one of them. I've had them all typed out, saved them all. And I told him, I said, "You know what? It was when I turned 34. When I turned 34, that's when I chose to leave the working world and go and serve God full time. I made a choice." And I said, "I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. We've been chosen, and we ought to be grateful for what God has done for us. Let's give Him our best today, all right? Father, we sure do love You. And God, we thank You for the privilege that we've been given to love You, to serve You. And Lord, I pray, God, today that You'll help us to remember the fact that we have been chosen and that we should be grateful today. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll help those that may be listening to the sound of My voice through the internet today. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll bless them and strengthen them. And if they're not saved, draw them unto You that they might be saved before it's eternally too late. Help us, Lord, today to choose to love You and serve You from a grateful heart. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love You today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.